Good morning.
Grace is just saying, she says, Mom, the tissues are on the back counter over there. I have a reputation in my family for not making it through things like this without tears. So I'm going to suck it up and try to make it through. And thank you for this opportunity for sharing my story with you this morning. When I was a new believer, I really enjoyed hearing other people's stories about how God uniquely customized a way to reach into their hearts, to reveal himself to them. And I'm going to tell you how he reached into my heart. I grew up in a blue-collar family in Philadelphia and attended church regularly, but I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him, but I really didn't know him personally. And when I was about 13, we would go to a Good Friday service, and it was 12 to 3, and you sat there the whole 3 hours. And my church had a life-size wooden carved crucifixion on the lawn on Good Fridays. And then on Easter Sunday, they removed the body part and would put a white drape there. And I remember coming out of church, walking past that crucifixion, and thinking, why did he have to die? How does that pay for my sins? And where did he take the sins? And I just was very confused about the whole thing. And I was about 13 then, and when I was 17, I moved downtown, and I went to nursing school at Jefferson. And it was during that time that you're going to date yourself if you know what this is. PCB was on Spring Garden Street, Philadelphia College of Bible, which is went to PBU and then went to Karen University in Langhorne. Well, PCB students had to have an outside ministry. And so these two young, very sacrificial students decided to have a Bible study in an all-girls dorm. And one of the girls there came to know the Lord and then came into my dorm room with my roommate, Linda Bicich, and explained the gospel to us like this. She said, this hand represents me, and my glasses represent my sin, and this is a perfect and holy God. And my sin separates me from that perfect and holy God. But Jesus came to take away our sins so that we could have fellowship with him in this life and certainly in the next. It was a life-changing moment. We both prayed at that moment, and I had a very experiential salvation. The room got really bright. I felt this warmth just go from my head down to my toe. And I was totally filled with gratitude that a king would die for me. And I didn't know anything except for John 3:16 and Isaiah 53 that she read to us. And I was so impressed that Isaiah knew 700 some years before this would ever happen. And if you've read through Isaiah 53, it clearly tells you about and shows you the picture of his crucifixion, and he was wounded for our sins. And God just used that. His word did not return void at that moment in my heart or in my roommate's heart. So I started attending that Bible study with those two young Karen students. Unfortunately, they decided to use the book of Revelation to disciple these new believers. And I remember them vividly. At the last time I attended that Bible study, the two of them arguing up on the chalkboard, doing the math, how you come up with the 144,000, and totally lost me. And I'm like, am I in a cult or what? What is this? So that was the end of my discipleship program. And unfortunately, I didn't grow for several years, 3 to 4 years. But I actually didn't know I was supposed to grow. I didn't know God had a plan and purpose for my life. I didn't know he had an opinion about what I did or didn't do. I just knew John 3:16, and I told everybody that would listen, my patients, people on the corner, people on the train when I would commute. And later on in life, we were at a timeshare spiel. You've all lived through them, right? And I'm sitting in the front seat of the car with the salesman, and until he was done his little thing, you know, I started explaining the gospel to him, and he sat there, and he asked me if I wanted a job selling condos. So, anyway, I was pretty successful during those 3 or 4 years. I graduated, I got a job in the ICU at a trauma center. I bought a car, a brand new one. I bought a house, a brand new one. I traveled, sometimes spontaneously, with my nursing friends. We'd go to the Bahamas for an extended weekend. I was in school full-time, working for an advanced degree. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was tired, I was depressed, and I was really empty. And you know, Matthew tells us that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I had the cart before the horse, didn't I? So God will not let his children be satisfied with anything but himself. So I remember driving home after a night shift, tired, driving a little too fast on a dark country road, and it was raining. And a hydroplane going too fast, dead center into a telephone pole, knocked the telephone pole off, went into a ditch, nose first. And I sat there with the smoke coming out from under my hood, wondering, am I dead or am I alive? And it was really dark, and I wondered how long I would sit there in that car. Eventually, a farmer, I don't know if maybe his electricity went out or something. Eventually, a farmer came, called the state police. And I remember the next day thinking, God must have a reason for me to be alive. Shortly after that, a neighbor came and invited me to a Bible study. And I thought, you know, I can wear my jeans. I can go in the middle of the week. You know, I'm exhausted all the time. I can do this. And I went to that Bible study. There was a young pastor with great teaching skills and a compassionate heart, and the Holy Spirit used those Bible studies to ignite a hunger and thirst in my heart for his word. And pretty soon, I asked that young pastor if he would baptize me, and Jerry Schmoyer did. Needless to say, the word grew me up real fast, and I got baptized in September. We were engaged in March. We were married in July, and we started our family in September. And 15 months later, for 5 years in a row, I had a baby. And it's been a roller coaster ride. I had so many totally unexpected things. I couldn't map this out in my imagination. I have 6 children. We homeschooled. We had ministry in Doylestown for 35 years plus. Regularly did mission work in India. I had a great nursing career and did it all in beautiful Bucks County. I thought for sure when I married this pastor we were going to the mud hut in Africa. I mean, who gets to do that? You know, by the grace of God, but go I for sure. Well, I have to say, even coming here to Crossing was totally orchestrated by God. When Grace Schmoyer Kane was about 5 or 6, when we were still ministering in Doylestown, we would bring a van load of people down here to Colonial Christmas. And Grace and Mark would make the little crafts here in the sanctuary. And I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, honey. And I remember saying to Jerry, like, if we weren't at our church in Doylestown, I think I'd like to come here. How providential. So when Jared found out he was candidating here, I was ecstatic, and so was Jerry. We were just over the moon, so excited. And so here we are, 35, 40 years later, here we are at Crossing. I want to thank Tim Smith and the pastoral staff for extending to Jerry opportunities to continue to use his God-given gifts. And I thank Vivian and David, who I hope you're looking, for initiating so actively when we first came here, greeting us, welcoming us, talking with us, inviting us to their house for lunch. That means so much to someone new in a strange place. And I thank the people here for being so graciously welcoming. So I'm truly a blessed woman, a blessed wife, a blessed mother, a blessed grandmother, but mostly I'm blessed to be a child of the King. Thank you.